Jaguars Digital. Jaguars Digital. Jaguars Drive Time. Brian Sexton, John Osher, Ashlyn Sullivan. Jaguars Drive Time starts right now.
Good morning. Everbank Field on a Monday morning. Boy, talk about a contrast. From yesterday to today, all is quiet, but there is a lot of excitement in and around Jacksonville and certainly in the Jaguars facility as the Jaguars celebrate their first home playoff win in 18 years, their first playoff win in 10 years, and their advancement to the divisional playoff round next Sunday in Pittsburgh. Good morning. I'm Brian Sexton along with John Osher. We'll introduce you to Ashlyn Sullivan in just a moment. But you know what, John, just to kind of set the scene, take a look at this video from yesterday right at kickoff. We just saw the empty stadium. I'm going to tell you, and having been here all these years, when the team ran out onto the field and all the towels were swirling and the noise was deafening, it was an awesome sight. I can't think of enough adjectives to describe the feeling of watching Everbank Field come to life for the first time, maybe in a generation.
Yeah, being in the press box, as you know, it's hard to get a feel for the volume. It was funny. We had just talked to the commissioner like at 12:40 or so. So I was sort of had my head in my computer and I was trying to write. And I looked up because I had heard all this talk all week about Bill's Mafia coming down and taking over the bank. And I looked out at kickoff and I was like, I didn't really believe that would happen.
Sure.
But then I sort of looked back at kickoff and said, well, I just wonder. And I looked out and there was zero, to me, presence of that. And it was towels. It was Duval. It was Teal. I'm sure there was a Bills element.
I'll give him credit.
But it was, for somebody who, as you know, Brian, we were both here in the 90s.
Yep.
So there was that feeling. But this is a different feeling. This is a resurgence. This is an appreciation. Maybe it's a little bit younger because people are starting to latch onto it. You were out there, so you probably have a better feel for what it was. But my feeling in the last month or so is it's been coming back.
It's,
I don't want to say bigger, whatever. It's different than the 90s. It's cool. It's its own thing, and it's certainly happening.
It felt almost restrained the last couple of weeks. I mean, it built to a crescendo yesterday. But people were still wondering, you know, is
sure.
This the team? And then it got pretty crazy against Seattle, and they ratcheted it up a notch against Houston. Yesterday was off the charts. And
the playoffs are the playoffs.
They
different.
Are. Yeah. Big picture, a little appreciation for the Bills. I think there were 7,000 is what I was told, 7,000 Bills fans that came down.
These are right.
Yeah, and they were.
It's not the 35 they promised.
No.
It was
nice. They were above you in the upper deck, so you couldn't see them. They were there, but when the towels started waving.
Right.
And when the volume came, you didn't hear them.
7,000 in this day and age, just to clarify, this is a different day and age for tickets. You're going to get a certain – there's going to be Jaguars fans go to Pittsburgh. You're going to get a certain number of fans of all types.
With
the
secondary market and ticket brokers, you're right.
That's just how it is. I was – as much as I could be, again, with the antiseptic nature of the writer's area, the press box, blown away by it yesterday.
All right, before we get to Ashlyn and start with big things, playoff win, right?
Yeah.
Wild card win, it's exciting. We're going to end up talking about some things that didn't go well all week long about the offense. But just to put it in perspective, winning is the only thing that matters.
Absolutely.
We have both seen teams play poorly one week and then come back and play well the next week. Not that that's a guarantee that's going to happen. But it's also not a guarantee that because the offense couldn't seemingly complete a forward pass other than the one to Ben Koyak yesterday, that they won't be able to do that in Pittsburgh.
Because the teams are so different and because it's all about matchups, it's about momentum, it's about early turnovers in the playoffs, every game can take on a different feel. And I covered one team that won the Super Bowl, the 2006 Colts. That was a defensive team early in the playoffs. All of a sudden it goes and it wins a 34-31 game to get there in the championship game after shutting teams down. My point being, games can be dramatically different. You win in different ways. No, I I don't think just because the Jaguars offense had trouble getting its own way yesterday means that will happen in Pittsburgh. Again, there's so much talk about with Pittsburgh. It's going to be a dramatically different game. But I expect the offense to be better in that game.
It has
going
to be.
It
has to be.
Well, it doesn't have to be. There's no laws. Well, but
right.
You would hope it is. And there's a lot to go over with the offense, certainly.
All right, time to bring in Ashlyn Sullivan, the rose to our thorns over here on this side. Good morning, Ashlyn. Your folks came up from South Florida.
They did.
Did they enjoy their experience
yesterday? Oh, my gosh. They're on the Jaguars hype train like no other. They weren't before, but my dad said with those towels opening kick, he said he felt it. And he isn't a Jaguars fan, but now he is.
Wait, come on. His daughter works for the organization.
Well, yeah. But
he better be a Jaguars
fan.
Yes,
he is now.
Is he going to make the trip to Pittsburgh? Did he enjoy it that much?
I don't think so.
I didn't think someone from South
Florida. We're back here in 2 weeks. He'll come back up for that.
All right, give us the big things.
Big thing number one is the running game. A lot of questions here. Blake Bortles is your leading rusher yesterday with 88 yards. And I go back to third down when Leonard Fournette in the red zone tried to leap over the line like he did in Pittsburgh, and it didn't work. So what do? You go throw a touchdown pass to Ben Koyak. So Blake made it work. But then you're looking next week into Pittsburgh, and you don't think that's going to happen again with making those plays with his feet.
You know, I chose the running game as the topic for a couple of different reasons. One, I was totally wrong. I thought that the Jaguars, I know that they have not run the ball with force.
It rolled off your tongue surprisingly well.
Well, I'm married, totally so I say it all the time.
I mean, you too. I'm with you.
I thought the Jaguars would be able to establish the run against the Bills, who had not been very good against the run all year. They could not, except for Blake, who mm-hmm. could. But the running game took the place of the passing game, except for the one play. I mean, wow. The running game is so critical to who this team is, and yet it appears that it is not going to be something they can lean on.
Yeah, see, I wonder, it's become vogue to say it's critical to who this team is, but I've made the case a lot this season. I think they've only had two or three games where they've been dominant running the ball. I don't think they were dominant running the ball except for one drive in Pittsburgh. If you really go back and look at that game.
Oh, sure. The numbers are skewed by the 90-yard run when the game was
gone.
And
there was an incredible drive in the second half where when they got the lead, they grinded it out and they ran every play.
11 to 14 plays.
That drive sort of forged the, quote, identity of this team. But again, if you really look back, they ran well against Seattle. They ran well one time against the Colts. And they ran well against Cleveland once. Beyond that, it's been a team that has relied on big plays out of the offense to get leads and then play defense. Because it plays defense so well, and because they're ranked number one in the NFL in rushing because of some big plays and because they've been able to stick to it, there's a perception that this is a dominant running offense. It hasn't been. What you hope is they can find something in the formula they found against Pittsburgh in that first game. I think they've got to get a lead. They got to do it with turnovers, and then hope you can grind it out.
Now, here's the confusion. Okay, if the number one rushing offense is not a running team, then how do you describe it after yesterday when it didn't appear they could throw the ball at all? 87 passing yards.
Well, yesterday you got to give.
We're not talking about a top Bills defense either. I mean, I know they're better than their ranking, but
well, they were very focused on stopping the run, and again, it's been a running game that no matter who the opponent has not gotten going. It has some big plays. It's got a big average at spots. But you tell me how many games you have felt like they were that they have been a dominant team.
No, I'm not arguing with you. You're missing my point, which is if they're not a good running team.
How are they here?
What are they going to do this week? Because yesterday you had
Marquise Lee
and Allen Hurns on the field for the first time since early November together, right? And Keelan Cole, who really emerged in December, mm-hmm. the three of them combined for zero catches for 0 yards and zero touchdowns.
Well, I got the feeling
I'm confused
yesterday.
On how they're going to go forward offensively if they can't run the ball, and yesterday they couldn't throw it.
Well, I don't think they're going to have the same game plan against Steelers because I don't think you can. I haven't talked to Nate Hackett or Doug Marrone specifically about what this will be. You got the feeling yesterday that they believed the only way they were going to lose the game was to turn the ball over to the Bills. The Bills were a good team at taking the ball away. They had thrived on that. You got the feeling that they thought, if we can get this thing tied, then if we can get a lead, as long as we don't let the Bills get away from us, then it's okay to be conservative. It's okay not to take risks. I don't think they wanted to risk the ball going the other way yesterday. And I think they thought they could win with that formula. I don't think they'll think they can beat the Steelers with that formula.
That formula was never more apparent than after Aaron Colvin's interception.
Mm-hmm.
Run, screen, screen, punt.
Yeah.
At the 35-yard line.
That wasn't a model for offense.
Well, that's where I wondered about the mindset. Can't run the ball. Not going to trust the passing game. You see what I mean?
Yeah,
it seems like the identity is a little bit in question this morning.
It seemed like, you know, P. Kevin Dave told me afterward, our videographers, guys, that the wind was a lot.
We called them artists, but yeah, go for it.
Yeah, you can. That the wind was a lot tougher yesterday than maybe you could see from the press box.
Yeah, it's
so
all the time.
I wonder if the combination of the wind, the combination of worrying about the Bills' cornerbacks, who had been, you know, the only thing that the Bills had identity-wise was LeSean McCoy and a secondary that took the ball away. So you do wonder if the combination of wind, not wanting to throw into that secondary and give the Bills an early lift, perhaps caused them to be more conservative because they can't play away against Pittsburgh and win.
Look, hey, my dad used to say it only takes 1 point to win. I don't care that they won 10-3, and I don't care that it ended up that it didn't look pretty. My question, and it's one we're going to talk about all week, is how do they go forward from here? And
I think Doug hinted at that after the game in his postgame of, look, just because you play one way, just because things go one way in the postseason, every postseason game is different. I think he knows that the formula that they were able to go into against the Bills
won't work.
Is not going to be the formula this week. He's not going to tell us the formula.
Sure.
But I would be very surprised if they think that they can win that way in Pittsburgh.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, more from Ashland Sullivan with big things. Ozone Snapshot is ahead. We're back in 60 seconds on this Monday edition, the Wild Card Victory Edition of Jags Drive Time on TuneIn Radio. Jags Wired is a brand new show that brings you closer to the field than anywhere else.
Let's go!
We mic up the players.
We're giving it out wholesale today, baby.
Giving you exclusive access to what's happening on the sideline.
Let's set this tempo.
And on the field.
You can't block me.
We break down every aspect of Sunday's game, taking you inside the film room and the locker room.
And we beat a good football team.
Jags Wired airs Wednesday nights at 7:30 on Fox 30 and on Jaguars.com and the Jaguars apps. Jags Wired. Don't miss it.
Jags fans, experience EverBank Field in an entirely new way. Visit Jaguars.com/tours and book a fully guided behind-the-scenes stadium visit. Hear stories of great plays by Jaguars legends. Get up close and personal with the famous video boards. And see why the Travel Channel named EverBank Field as one of the 15 bucket list destinations for any football fan. Discounts available for children, first responders, and military. Visit Jaguars.com/tours for tickets and complete details. See you at the bank. Welcome back to Jags Drive Time. Here with you with big thing number two, and it seems to be a reoccurring thing here on Monday morning Drive Time. The defense carried the team yesterday. From Jalen Ramsey's pick to Miles Jack's sack, it was a great unit and great team win for them, and you got to give them credit, guys.
They were fantastic. I don't know any other way to describe it. You know, we saw them in Nashville with the short fields there at the end of the first half, where Marcus Mariota and Derrick Henry could have blown the game open. Field goal, they kept it close. On Sunday against Buffalo, the Bills got a couple little things. You know, I mean, a broken tackle, LeSean McCoy on a missed tackle, got free for a 12 and a 25-yard run. That was all he was able to do. There were a couple of short throws to the tight end, but Kelvin Benjamin was a complete non-factor, and they traded for him for the idea that he was going to become their guy.
Right. They weren't necessarily think they were going to play Jalen Ramsey every week.
Yeah.
Total shutdown
effort by this defense. It was remarkable, and I think you need to give credit this morning to Marcell Dareus for the way that he played in the middle. He was a huge reason why Tyrod Taylor nor LeSean McCoy could get free in the running game. He occupied two and three gaps, had two defenders at all times, and really made a mess of the middle of the offensive line of the Bills.
Well, it was for this kind of offense that he was brought in. I mean, the interesting thing, again, and not want to look too forward to Pittsburgh, all of a sudden against Pittsburgh, the strength of the Jaguars' defense starts to play heavily into the matchup again because the Steelers throw to their receivers. In the last couple of games, you played against teams that don't necessarily throw to their receivers a lot. So Boye and Ramsey, not as big a factor. But Darius was brought in because there was a deficiency early when teams wanted to run, when teams wanted to be physical against them and run through the middle. Yes, the Bills were able to do that some, but because of Darius's presence, we're able to do that a lot. I think Todd Walsh deserves a lot of credit, as well as a lot of these defensive players. If you're watching from the press box, you could see plays that would develop where it looked like Taylor was starting to get the edge on a scramble. And they rushed very smart yesterday. There were numerous plays I can think of where Dante Fowler, for example, worked hard to get his shoulder on the other side of the block so that he could cut off a Taylor scramble. That has to be something they game planned and said, look, we have to make sure that we not only rush this guy, but we cut off his lanes. That's a big effort to do when you're pass rushing. And I thought I saw a lot of plays yesterday where the defenders made efforts to cut off lanes. It just shows you this is an 11-man defense. Everybody counts in it. And I'm not surprising that we're sitting here today talking about Fowler, Jack, Ramsey, Boye, Sean Gibson.
Oh, sure. Those are the guys.
It was 11 guys yesterday who did this. And again, you want to say, well, how good is the Bills' offense really? Well, anytime you hold an NFL team to 3 points in the playoffs, it's a epic effort that'll be remembered for a long time.
Let me rattle through a couple of plays because they deserve mention. First of all, Aaron Colvin on the interception in the second quarter. First of all, I don't know whether you saw it. Colvin was sick as a dog. Mm-hmm. He was throwing up yesterday. And
I didn't see the throwing up.
Well,
I'm fine with,
yeah, because you're out of timelines. The ball, he knocked it free, and then he almost kicked it and kept it alive.
It was Miles who got the tip.
Yep.
And then
he just kept fighting.
Colvin, a remarkable effort. Yeah, right.
Remarkable effort to get that.
And think about the athleticism.
No, go ahead. Brian.
Think about the athleticism on both of the Jaguars' interceptions. The Ramsey play was off the charts. I mean, you can watch the NFL a long time.
There's never been an interception like that in this stadium.
Yeah.
The only one closer was Boye in the play that he made against the Chargers.
Right. But go ahead.
Well, the next play that comes to mind is Miles Jack's sack. Mm-hmm. So Jaguars up 10-3, and the Bills are driving, and the play after, remember, they got to the Jags 37. That play was overturned. Charles Clay's catch because his foot was out of bounds. So they come back, and they've got a little momentum now.
Sure.
They're pushing, and Miles comes up with a big sack on third down that forces them to punt.
That, again, was I don't know that a lesser athlete makes that sack.
No.
And there is a point where there are some incredible athletes in the Jaguars' defense. Ramsey's off the charts.
Yeah.
Miles Jack is also. Dante Fowler very close behind those guys, if he's even behind those guys. But the Miles Jack sack, I haven't rewatched it, but it just struck you as a play where a lesser athlete, Taylor, who's an incredible athlete, probably gets away. And Miles Jack, being who he is, makes that play.
Last one to bring up is Dante Fowler's play on Tyrod Taylor at the end of the ballgame because he's on the ground.
Yeah.
On the ground, gets up as Taylor. There's room for Taylor to run now. Taylor can make a play of this thing and get deep into Jaguars territory, but Fowler has the presence of mind to get up and reach out. And again, athletic play because Taylor is a tremendously strong athlete. If you remember one play in the first half, he got away from Calais Campbell, who had his arms on him. So here's Fowler who gets up and gets him to the ground just past the line of scrimmage. Now, he knocked him out of the game, but more importantly than that, he stopped him from making more of a game of it at the end.
Well,
as important in many ways as Ramsey's play.
The violence that Dante plays with, if you watch him over the course of time, is incredible. The one thing about Dante I've always said, I don't know that he's ever going to live up to the number three draft pick.
The Von Miller, yeah.
But if you watch him over time, what you never question is, and I've always said, he will not be a bust in this league. Early on, even when he was really struggling, because of the effort that he gives on every play.
Right.
The motor is incredible with the guy. And I think sometimes over the course of a season, there's a couple of games where you don't see that. All of a sudden yesterday, the motor that he plays with on that play particularly, you always say play every play out, play and something's going to happen good. That was an example of that for Dante Fowler Jr. The pure effort that he plays with helped the Jaguars clinch the game, and that's not a fluke, I guess, is what I'm getting at.
No.
That's who the guy is on the field.
All right, let's try to squeeze in Big Thing 3 before our final break of the show. And Ashlyn, Big Thing 3 is about defense also.
It is. Pittsburgh Part 2. So last time the Steelers and the Jags faced off, Ben Roethlisberger threw 5 interceptions. Last week he says to the media he can't wait to see them again. He wants a rematch. But guys, do you really think he wants a rematch? Doesn't he kind of have to say that?
I think he does.
Of course he does.
Oh, yeah. Sure. He's a top competitor. And top competitors absolutely want the chance to come back and prove it. Remember, he stood there in the locker room and deadpanned. Well, maybe I've lost it after the game. And that became a story. One thing, and then I'll let you run on this one. The Jaguars did not have Marcell Dareus when they went to Pittsburgh and won. It bears mentioning because you get Le'Veon Bell this mm-hmm. week, who I think is the most complete back in the league. Everyone would agree.
Well, there's so much to parse through with this game, and we will. That's a huge point because in that Pittsburgh game in October, when you went back and watched it, you did wonder why the Steelers got away from the run.
Right.
Because they ran well. So your first instinct is, boy, that concerns you because now you're going up there again. Well, it was also a different Jaguars defense that was more susceptible to that, and I think they're a better defense against the run. I don't say it negates it, but it's something that you certainly have a strength to play against their strength now. The Roethlisberger versus the Jaguars secondary is the most obvious huge matchup of this division.
You think they'll be a little trash talk this week?
It'll be incredible. No, I don't think there'll be much before the game from the Jaguars. There'll be a little bit, but I don't think they're going to go in there beating their chest. I think they probably figured that their statement they made in October is enough. I think the Steelers might do a little bit of it. And I think if you're the Jaguars, you want the Steelers coming into this game saying, we're going to show you what we can do offensively. I think they will. I think they'll come in confident. If you're the Jaguars, you want the Steelers to think they can throw into the teeth of your defense.
All right. It should be an epic matchup. Can't wait. Sunday, 1:05 kickoff, and we'll be there. We'll be back here inside these warm, comfortable studios with another segment of Jags Drive Time right after this.
Jags fans, experience EverBank Field in an entirely new way. Visit jaguars.com/tours and book a fully guided behind-the-scenes stadium visit. Hear stories of great plays by Jaguars legends. Get up close and personal with the famous video boards. And see why the Travel Channel named EverBank Field as one of the 15 bucket list destinations for any football fan. Discounts available for children, first responders, and military. Visit jaguars.com/tours for tickets and complete details. See you at the bank.
Jags Wired is a brand new show that brings you closer to the field than anywhere else.
Let's go!
We mic up the players.
We're giving it out wholesale today, baby.
Giving you exclusive access to what's happening on the sideline.
Let's set this pep up.
And on the field.
You can't grab me.
We break down every aspect of Sunday's game, taking you inside the film room and the locker room.
And we beat a good football team.
Jags Wired airs Wednesday nights at 7:30 on Fox 30 and on Jaguars.com and the Jaguars apps. Jags Wired. Don't miss it. All quiet this morning at EverBank Field. It won't last for long, and it certainly wasn't yesterday. How about this, folks? In a year which you undoubtedly had heard that the ratings were down league-wide, somewhere between 9 and 11%, I believe was what the numbers at the end of the season were. How about this for yesterday? A 37.8 rating. That's off the charts. And a share of 63. Look, I don't want to go into all the technical details of what that means, but it means most people in this DMI, this designated market area, we're watching.
That's Jacksonville's rating, correct?
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
That's Super Bowl-esque.
Gotcha.
That's okay. Super Bowl-esque. The ratings were off the charts. I meant to say DMA, designated market area. Ashlyn, save me with ozone here before I get too too technical on that, but there's no doubt. The excitement level. When the game sold out and the seats under the tarp in particular went in 6 minutes, you knew the interest level was there. Yesterday, with the nip and tuck of the game, the numbers phenomenal.
Absolutely. You definitely knew it was there. So here with Ozone Snapshot number one, Hippie Ryan from Fleming Island. Ramsey is the best football player in the history of the Jaguars. Hashtag Pro Bowl till he retires.
Well, I'll pump the brakes on that a little bit. He's phenomenal, and, yeah, and he belongs in the group.
Oh,
and,
for sure.
Who cares right now if he's better all time than Tony Baselli, who's still, you know, to me right here, Fred Taylor,
just ask him. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to say it about Tony because now he'll tell me the rest of the week that I'm right.
Fred, Jimmy, Maurice Jones-Drew is pretty good.
All of that's great. The point is, Jalen Ramsey, if he's not the best cornerback in football, who is he? You know, who is that guy? He's only in his second year. He might be the most dynamic, superstar, eventually polarizing, all that stuff. I'll say this. He may wind up being the biggest rock star ever to play here.
Well, look, there's
no doubt.
Because
he may be that guy already.
And I have to say, in the locker room in San Francisco, and then the locker room yesterday, he was a different cat.
Yep.
You know, one after loss, one after win, he was consistent. He stood there and he answered the questions. You know, early on, he'd kind of mock some of the reporters' questions, and he'd be short. And I mean, yesterday he deadpanned it once. Did we win that game?
Right.
He was asked about Pittsburgh. But he answered things thoughtfully. He's grown as a leader.
Yeah, see, I don't like close to the vest Jalen.
Well,
I want chippy Jalen. I want my guy back, Brian.
You'll get that. But I appreciated the way he stood there yesterday and handled the situation without. Now, he was chippy on the field.
Sure.
How was he chippy on the field? You see the way he came over and reacted with the crowd after the interception at the end of the ball game?
He's terrific on that front.
He is a sensational football player, worthy of the mention of being in those names. Let's let it play out over the course of
his career. I want my guy back, Brian. I want locker room Jalen back.
Find a cornerback in professional football that is equal to him right now.
I agree.
Okay, Ashlyn.
Okay. Final Ozone Snapshot. John from Rochester. Jags win. That's all that matters.
Yeah, I mean, and in the Ozone inbox last night, a lot of teeth gnashing over the offense, and I get it. A lot of, oh, we should have beaten the Bills, et cetera. But I think there were also a lot of people who realized the playoffs are the playoffs. If you look in, you know, if you're looking at the scope of a franchise's history, even the greatest franchise, they remember the postseason games. You savor the wins because if you don't win, you're out. It's the seventh postseason win in franchise history, I believe.
Sixth.
Six. Okay.
Sixth.
Well,
yeah, they're
even rarer than I thought.
Right.
It's all that matters is you win, and then you get a chance to game plan for the following week. You get a chance to play. As Doug Marrone says, it earns you 65 more plays. And through all the hype, from a football point of view, that really is what matters.
I think they're playing with house money right now, to be honest with you. You know, yesterday there was a lot of pressure. The Bills were a perfect matchup. They slid into the playoffs. You were playing at home, division champs, trying to break the two-game losing skid at the end of the year. There was some pressure on this team, and I felt it early. I sensed that there was some forcing, especially when the offense was not effective early.
But it's human nature. First-time teams in the playoffs struggle.
Right. Well, now you're playing with house money. Division title, 10 wins, 6-game home winning streak. The season has been an outrageous success no matter how you cut it. From this point forward, it's all gravy.
You're one of eight teams left playing professional football. Go play.
Go play. And with this defense, as we've seen this year, anything can happen at any point in time.
And I think they will. I think this team will thrive on the underdog role this week. I think you're exactly right. I don't know how to quantify it, but I do think there was some tightness and some edge to it. Hey, we're supposed to win this game. We're a young team. Blah, 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 blah. I don't think you'll see it against Pittsburgh. I think they'll be able to let it loose, and I think they'll be a lot looser offensively.
Jags win in advance to the divisional playoff round against the Steelers. All access tonight at Mellow Mushroom in Avondale, 7 o'clock on CBS here in Jacksonville. Calais Campbell and company with a big show. It will be insane. It's going to be a crazy week, folks. Stay with us here on Jaguars.com and TuneIn Radio all week long to keep you up to date and in the know. Have a great Monday.